are actually just finishing up the 363 there, middle of the page where it says note. If you don't have a 363, I have a few. There's only a little bit on here. You won't need a whole lot, but do you got yours? You may not. You guys, yeah. Let me know. Hey there. Anyone? Anybody else over here? You guys, anyone? Hey there. Good seeing you. Come on. Put one there for you too. Anyone? All right. Did you find it? Yep. Amen. One left. One left. You good? You're good. Yep. Yeah. Oh, gotcha. Used to. Brother Adam's having his book. See that? Praise the Lord. All right. On this page, we're at the note 363. We're getting into a very interesting section, and this study is on women in the New Testament, really women in the Bible. And what we want to understand in life is, you know, whether we're a man or a woman, and yes, there are only two genders, amen? Amen. If you want to, if you have data, you want to try to convince us otherwise, let's go for it. Honestly, open to the debate. In the beginning, God made male and female. And say, yeah, but there are health issues, different things, the way people are made. You're right, there are a lot of deformities and things that happen. Right? That doesn't change the reality of how God created us. Amen. And here's why this is important. Because men and women are different. Is there anybody that believes men and women are exactly the same, no differences? Anybody? Once you get married to one of them, if you're a man to a woman to a man, you'll realize you're different. If you don't believe it, that'll convince you. We think different. We're physiologically different. You what? Emotionally, absolutely different. By the way, hormones are different. Way different. A lot of other things different in there too, amen. They're different. Now, why are they different? Is it just because when they got born, they decided they wanted to be this, that, or the other, and poof, they became that? No. It's because they were made that way. They were born that way. Does that make sense? Okay. While we're on that topic, but we're there, amen. Anyway, hey, we talk about just about everything in church, amen. So, but the point is that whatever you are, God has made you in a way to thrive with who you are, right? So God has given man certain abilities. He's also given certain roles. He's given certain things that if he'll stay in that zone, he'll thrive there. And the same is true of women. But here's what our flesh does. Our flesh doesn't want to follow God's rules. Right? Romans 7, Romans 8, that our flesh is not bound by God's law. And doesn't want to be, and it can't be, right? And so our flesh, so we're a trichotomy, we're a three-part person, just like God. We're made in God's image, and we are body, soul, and spirit, all right? And so from the sin that's come to us, it dwells in our flesh, and our flesh actually has a mind. We have the spirit, spiritual mind, and then in our soul, and then we also have a mind of our flesh. And that's the battling aspect in our body. That's, you know, always like the cartoons, the you know, the little angel and the little devil, amen, on the shoulders, and they're talking back and forth trying to convince, okay, that is that God-given conscience and your flesh. Our flesh, it really wants to do wrong. It fights against the laws of God. It fights against who we are. And our flesh really, really doesn't like us, and it wants to hurt us. It really does. I mean, if you follow your flesh, you'll be destroyed. I mean, that's just the way it is. We need to be pulled back. We need to be constrained. We need to get back to where God created us to be. But ever since sin entered in, that's what's happened. Amen. And so where you see a culture outside of God, where you see a culture trying to go, well, that is going to be the embodiment of the flesh. That's the mind of the flesh, right? And then you see God, God's people trying to pull it the other way. It's because that's where God says we thrive. Now, Christianity, I'm not against anybody. I don't want to ruin your day. I don't want to ruin your fun. Amen. I really don't care about necessarily the temporal fun. What I care about is you and I being right with God, because that's how God's made us to be. That's where we'll thrive. He come to give us life and to give us life more abundantly. Say, you're just trying to restrict me from my fun. No, your flesh is trying to pull you a direction. And I'm trying to help you to see that your flesh is not your friend. Does that make sense? And that's what the Word of God says. So a lot of times we enter into these discussions about the roles of men, the roles of women and all that. And you have this, well, I just don't think. Well, that's your flesh talking. And that's fine. You can articulate that all you want. But we're going to take that thought and we're going to put it back into the Word of God, because this is where we thrive. That's where truly that joy-filled, peaceful, right life comes from. Everywhere else is chaos. Everywhere else is the Lord has come to give life more abundantly, but the devil and the flesh are seeking to destroy. That's just the way it is. And so there's a whole lot deeper understanding in that in the scripture I could bring forth. But for today, what we have in this text is there's a couple times in scripture that certain things are brought out, and then it's like, oh, see here, this is, in a sense, a challenge to, you know, some other areas of scripture. So this inconsistency then supports my thesis for whatever. So what's interesting about these couple of spots we're going to look at is we have two, and then three, actually, two examples that would say that, hey, maybe it is okay for women to be, you know, preachers or fulfill roles that are really meant for men. And we've already covered that. So the Bible's very clear in reference to some things in reference to preachers. Listen, us guys, if we could, we wouldn't be preachers. I don't want to be a preacher. I was an aircraft mechanic and I was just happy fine doing it. And if I could, I'd go back to it in a moment. But once I got saved, God called me to something else, something that I don't like speaking in front of people. I don't. At school, I'd take an F before I got up and gave a report in front of a class. I hate it. But what God does, he calls us to things that our flesh isn't comfortable with. Because our flesh needs to be put into subjection to some things. And so God's called me to some things that now I believe I have an obligation based on my salvation and through Christ that I need to follow. But it's not because I necessarily want to be. So listen, if men could stay home and do nothing and not work, they'll do it. Right? Rob, do you want to go out and work every day and bust your knuckles and everything? Is that what you want to do? No. If you could send Tammy out and do all that, would you? Yeah, your flesh would say, yeah, sign me up, amen. I'll stay home, take care of the birds, amen. Well, you probably wouldn't want to take care of the birds. No, that's not his thing. But mankind, if you let men get off the hook, man, they'll sit in the pew and let every woman do all the, they'll do it. But God has clearly said in his word that the man has responsibilities, and we need to be, in a sense, made to fulfill those roles as men. And so women, though, they see men not, and it's a right indictment against men. And women like to make fun of us guys, and I get it. There's a lot of material there to make fun of us for, because we have a lot of issues. Amen. But the reality is that God's given us positions. And one thing that will help a man fulfill his role is when a woman becomes a man's cheerleader and not his critic. Because men are, we always say women are really emotional. They are on the exterior. They show their emotions. So are men. And men, when they become emotional, they go into a hole and they don't want to talk to anybody. They are totally defeated. It's different. Women, they'll cry on everybody's shoulder, let their emotions show, whatever. Most men, though, they don't. Their emotions are internal, but they lock up and they stop. And they become defeated. and just a whoop dog. Amen. So it's different. So the point is that not only do women need to understand the role of a woman, they also need to understand the role of a man and not stop that man from doing, and not intimidate, and not ridicule, and not poke fun at, and do all these harp and criticize and contend. They need not do that, because a man is easily stopped from doing what he doesn't want to do anyway. And women are always like, you get to leave the house and get away from the kids all day long and all that, and go out here and work and all that. I get it, but the man doesn't want to do that. He doesn't want necessarily to go away from the house every. What's ironic is that the man is almost envious of the woman being able to do that if they're able to. And then the woman is envious of the man for it. It's just the flesh. It's the flesh wanting what they don't have. Flesh is never happy. The flesh is never happy. And you can try, like, if you see someone that's discontent, you can try to say, well, you got it a whole lot better than so-and-so. I mean, look at their life and all that, but it doesn't help to tell someone that, because they're like, I don't care what I have right now. I want something different. And so people, the flesh is never content. And by the way, if you're living in the flesh and you think, all my problems will be solved. A lot of people think, all my problems will be solved if someone just dropped $1 million in my lap. Well, it may take care of a couple of your issues. But at the same time, it may also add a whole number of issues and would. And so it's not, we like to think the issue is money. No, probably not. My problems would all be solved if my spouse just did this. Maybe. Solve some. Probably not all. Do you see what I'm saying? We always have in our mind what we need so that our life will be, oh. But the reality is, unless you're able to be content today with what you have, you won't be content tomorrow with what you have then, no matter what it is. That's why the Bible says we have to learn. Whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. No matter where I find myself, if I can't be content, listen, if I can't be content with where I am with God today, I will never be content with where my situation and circumstances are today and all the people. There are millions of variables in our life, but the one variable that is constant is God. And if our relationship with Him is right, then we can deal with everything else. And if it's not right, we're going to keep grasping for things that we want changed so that then I can be happy. Like, that's the goal. The goal is not happiness. The goal is contentness in the Lord. Amen. And so when we look at these things, that's kind of why we're looking at it. Real quick, note there. What of the four daughters of Philip? Turn over to Acts 21. Acts 21. Acts 21. By the way, I just heard, where was I at? It was, man, I was somewhere. And I'm glad I can't remember exactly where, actually. I was somewhere and someone made this comment. There's actually a preacher. In reference to women prophesying. And there, let me ask you this question. Is it okay if women prophesy today? Raise your hand if that's a yes. Raise your hand if it's no. Now, when I say prophesy, there's two types of prophecy. There is foretelling and forthtelling. Foretelling means you say it beforehand. That's what we had in the Old Testament, is that the prophet would foretell and say, this is what's going to happen. Well, now that the scripture is complete, we have what's called forthtelling. We preach the already iterated word of God, which contains in it prophecy. So in a sense, we can foretell, but not because the scriptures of a private interpretation, meaning only we have it. It's not of a private interpretation, meaning we all have it. So we preach the already revealed truth. Old Testament, they revealed new truth. And so that was the prophecy we're concerned, or that's the prophesying that we're used to from Old Testament. New Testament, we're just revealing already given truth, which is unknown to many. But it's not unknown in that it's not been revealed. It's been given. We foretell what we already have. Does that make sense? So prophecy in the New Testament, preachers prophesy. But we don't foretell, we forthtell. Does that make sense? It's already been given. Okay. So when I say the word prophecy, I'm meaning, is it okay for a woman, I'll use the, to preach today? Anybody say yes? Okay. Anybody say no? Okay. And the reason that typically happens is when I say preach, you usually are thinking a woman standing behind the pulpit like a pastor would and teach a congregation. Now, from the scripture, the woman is not to teach nor usurp authority over the what? Over the man. And yet we have a passage here, and we have another in Acts that actually talks about even further earlier, that talks about our young men and our young women actually dreaming dreams and prophesying. In these last days, is it okay if women preach the word? Let me simplify it. Yes. Yes. We want everybody preaching the word. But we are in confines to where there are certain contexts to where a woman is not given that role to teach and usurp over a man. But at the same time, I want to have come to you in a second. There are preachers that say, if you've been divorced, I don't want you behind the pulpit. I don't want you preaching. I don't want you doing anything like that because you've been divorced. And I'm thinking, where? Now, pastoring, sure, I get it. I understand that. But who do you think wants people to keep their mouth closed? The devil or God? The devil. So you mean to tell me because somebody had a divorce in their past, got things right with God, or moving forward, do you mean to tell me now they're not even qualified to? I know pastors that'll say, I don't even want a divorced guy giving the announcements behind the pulpit. And I'm thinking, what are you, you've lost your mind. We want Rover preaching the gospel. We want everybody preaching the gospel, amen. Right? Brother Rob would agree with that. Amen. We want the gospel going forth. Here we have a text here in Acts where it says that Philip's daughters prophesied. What'd they do? Preach the truth. I know some women that can, man, they can get the word out. Amen. And by the way, I was at the baby shower in my office running the whole technical side behind the scenes. And I got to listen to Chloe Hewitt preach to the ladies. And it was wonderful. Man, I would have amened if I didn't think the ladies would have thought, what in the world is that? Amen. Later, Brother Hewitt, I texted him. I said, thank you for letting your wife do it. He goes, yeah, because I don't know who's a better preacher, me or her. And I go, I'll be honest with you, after that, I don't know either. So I said to him. He didn't respond for a little while. Amen. And then gave me one of those little, you know, thumbs up things. I'm thinking, oh man, he's probably thinking, what in the world? Anyway, the point is that if you're a woman, preach, yes, but just stay in your lane. And you should be under the authority of whether it's your husband or a father or even the pastor. You should be under authority in that. Why? Because of Eve. We've already covered that. But we want you to preach. There are a lot of ladies that I can't say anything. Yes, please speak up. If you know the truth, tell somebody that truth. Amen. Anyway, Acts 21, 8 and 9. Who wants to read it? Acts 21, 8 and 9. Yes, Rachel.
And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came into Caesarea. And we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. The same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy.
they preface that.
Yeah. So here's an evangelist. By the way, been a pastor now for a little while. I don't know if you know this or not, but since I have 8 kids, I've spent my entire life with them pouring the Word of God into them. And we sit around the table and I challenge them on the truth of the Word of God. On everything. They'll tell you. And I'm not sitting there demanding them to believe like me. I'm just pouring the Word of God into them, right? In every situation, in everything. Do you think I want them? I have 4 boys, 4 girls. Do you think I want all 8 of them out there preaching the truth to people? Oh, you better believe it. I think, well, with all they know, I mean, they ought to be able to stand toe-to-toe with almost anybody and know the truth and present. I want them. Here's an evangelist. What's he doing? He's doing that. And his 4 daughters are mighty in the scriptures, and they're able to preach the truth. Hallelujah. Doesn't mean that they were usurping authority over man. Doesn't mean that they were outside their lane. It just means that they were presenting the truth. Does that make sense? That's what these were doing. And then lastly, and we'll close, what of Deborah? I know the lady studied Deborah. Deborah is in what's the book that Deborah's mentioned in? Judges. Judges' theme is every man did that which was right in his own eyes. The guys did nothing. Who was the leader of Israel the period of Judges? No one. No one stepped up after Joshua. There was a void of leadership. God called a woman, by the way, when women and children rule over you, it is a shame to that population group. And that's what this was. Was she a judge? Yes. Was she powered by God? Yes. Did she do something great for God? Yes. Was Barak, a little scared without her? Yes. Should he have been? No. Would God have used him if he would have let him? Yes. Listen, if there's a vacuum, a void, and you're a lady and you have an opportunity to step up. Step up and do that role. And if there's ever a man to come in and take that role, scoot over. Let him do that. If you're in a home and if you're a woman in a home, you want your husband to lead. If he's not right now and you have to step up, go ahead, step up some. With the idea in mind, I hope we can transition this at some point. Amen. I believe that's what Deborah teaches us. Amen. And so anyway, real quick, any thoughts on either of those? Yes, go.
Going off that, I use words like prophesy and preach, but really it's just teaching from the Word. And women are commanded several times to teach the younger. And as well as look at Timothy.
Times 2, yeah.
Paul would point to Timothy and say, the faith of your father and grandfather. It was his mother and his grandmother.
That's right.
He got that from them.
Yeah, so Timothy was greatly affected by his mom and grandma. And I'm thinking that they were pretty outspoken concerning the truth. So, yeah, ladies, be outspoken with the truth.
Just don't be disrespectful and don't usurp authority over a man, but definitely in a right way, man, you get the word out. Let's get the word out, amen? Yes.
So, with all that being said, what would be your thoughts on a woman preaching over a service?
I've had before women come up and if I had a woman that was very, very studied in an area, under my authority, I'd let her, teach on that subject. In general, I mean, in our church, we have a lot of men. There would be no necessarily a reason just arbitrarily just to preach, generally preach. But if there was a woman who's well studied in something, I wouldn't necessarily be opposed to them even standing behind the pulpit underneath male leadership and bringing forth the word. Yes, Patricia.
I can't remember her name, but there's a lady that's actually a preacher that preaches on TV. So what's your take? That's not right, is it?
She's actually a running a church, pastoring a church.
It's, I forgot her name.
Yeah. Yeah, there's different ladies. A lot of them, I mean, I don't know every one of their particular situation, but God's not giving the woman the, unless she can be the husband of one wife, then she wouldn't qualify in a sense. And there's other things too there. But again, she's got to decide that all on her own. She's not in our church. But I wouldn't recommend that. Yeah. We're going to see a lot of things in our day that we live. I'm just trying to say what's right by the word. And, you know, she has risen maybe to prominence because others haven't, or because there's a thirst for that, right? But anyway, it doesn't mean it's right. But can God use it? Sure. I mean, God can use... when the word goes forth, it goes forth. I hope that goes forth right. But it's powerful. Anyway, fun stuff. See you next week. Let's close in prayer. God, thank you for today. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for how you work in our lives, God, and what you're doing. And we sure do need wisdom in this day to do right by you and stay in our lane and just to see you glorified, Lord, and help people with it. And we're not trying to pick fights with anybody, just trying to do right by you and challenge people along the lines of the Word of God so that we can each be in that place that we can be the most not only useful for you but blessed by you and happy in a right way, just a fulfilled, peaceful life as you would see fit. Thank you, God, for this day. Bless the service to follow, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to an audio message from McGregor Road Baptist Church. We are located on the southeast side of Indianapolis, Indiana. To learn more about our church, visit www.actonschurch.com. You can also call us at 317-862-3414. Thank you for listening, and may God richly bless you as you seek to grow in the Lord.